right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Time for another edition of our COVID Chronicles. Fun and merriment have never been captured so thoroughly and completely as we do in these hours, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It is the most horrific thing that I could never have imagined, this nightmare that we're living. And they're not going to slow down. We're just weeks away from the release of the new updated version of the COVID vaccine. So watch for that. Walgreens announced they were closing 700 more stores today. So it'll be 700 fewer locations to get your death vax. Ha ha. All right, young lady, step right up. You're on.
Okay.
Ah, I got
well, I
her
guess
that
they weren't
time.
Charging enough for their vaccines. I mean, what?
No. No, they weren't. No. They should have opened that body bag receptacle I told you about in the back, and then they would have been busy.
Well, yeah, I think it depends on what location. Some are actually quite busy.
Yeah. No, they are. They're just closing marginal stores. Stores that are probably hit by, if you looked at them, they'd be the ones hit by shoplifting very hard. And
yeah.
Not much you can do.
Well, Amazon is in the pharmacy business now, so...
How are they doing that? Do you have to somehow electronically transmit a prescription to them?
I guess, and then they'll deliver it probably the next day, if not the same day. I don't know.
They're not using drones yet here. China is rolling out a heavy lift, low altitude delivery drone system. So they're going to be able to carry things, 10, 20 pounds, I think, easily. And they'll be racing all over the place. Now, of all the people we have had on, Dr. Jancy Lindsay is one of the best. She speaks very matter-of-factly. She's got a nice voice. I'm really interested in communication skills. She's a good one. And she does talk about things we have mentioned before. She's a very fine professional. She's got a PhD in molecular biology. And she has made it quite clear that these injections are absolutely, without any reservation, gene therapies. Now, I again repeat, don't be caught on the word therapy. Therapeutic usually means an improvement in health and wellness. These are gene interference tools, which they should really rename them. What would you call them? Gene destroyers? Gene modifiers? Gene whatever.
I would say it's a manipulation.
Genetic manipulation. The manipulation, the changes that happen in those who get the shots and, quite likely, those who are being shed upon are permanent. And they are going to become permanent in the human genome. There's no way to block it.
On that note, Nurse Lindsay announced that she's got the results of her testing to determine whether or not the Pfizer's that she took were integrated into her DNA.
And, all right, do we want to play that too or do that right now?
She hasn't publicly disclosed what the results are, but she's going to be having a chat, an open chat, for her followers to tune in to talk about it.
Huh.
I think I sent you a link.
You did?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it yet, though. Let's see here.
I said chat, Twitter space, X space, whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah, I want my space, but not enough to sign up. Okay, hold on. Nurse Lindsay. Lindsay House. What kind of a picture is that? All right. Results are in. DNA, RNA, sequencing results to see if Pfizer or Moderna integrated into my genome. Let's discuss. Set your reminder here. So she, we'll follow that. We'll report to you what she says. And just to keep it real simple but to the point, what happens if integration is proven? Now, they already know if there is such a thing as integration with these Pfizer, Moderna death vac shots, but they haven't publicly said much. So if they're integrated, what does that mean? If they're not integrated, what does that mean? In short, anything you can throw out?
Well, I would say, you know, it's probably not every single cell in the body.
Right.
It's probably what they call a mosaic, where some are transfected and some are not permanently. You know, the big worry, though, is whether or not the germline integrates this stuff.
How could it not, basically? That's my take on it.
I think it's hit or miss. I mean, we know these lipid nanoparticles do traffic to the sex organs and can potentially transfer the genetic material into the sperm or egg.
And what that means is they're passed right along, ladies and gentlemen.
For better or for worse, whatever that means. We don't know. And it may be that, you know, kids are being born, the ones that actually make it to full term.
Yeah.
Who's to say whether or not they have this gene within their genome? And again, it may not be all of the cells. It may just be some of the cells. But
these genes potentially can be spread by shedding. If Stephanie Seneff is right, come on, the mRNA and the spike are being shed.
Yeah, but not to the degree of a...
I don't know how much it takes.
Injection.
We're really in trouble here. That's the whole thing. I think she's going to find that there was integration. There is integration. That's my guess.
Well, and I believe they were also looking at her microbiome to see if her, you know, native bacteria had taken it up.
Right. Right.
Which, you know, that's another aspect to this.
We'll be watching, Lindsay. So, yeah. This would be good to see from a learning and education standpoint.
Well, after 4 years,
I suspect
it's high time.
I still think they've done this research, and they know. They're just not going to make it easy for the public to find out.
Well, we had that study. I believe it was done by Swedish researchers that showed that within hours, it integrated into the, in this case, it was liver cells. It reverse transcribed, and it was a part of the liver cell.
And it ain't going away. There's an interesting picture sheet. That's an AI picture, I would suggest, of Lindsay. Interesting. All right. Now, let us go ahead and pull up Jancy Lindsay. Now, if I can, all I have to do is find her. She's been at this... quite a while, and never disappointed. Okay, here we go. All right, are you ready there?
Ready.
Here we go.
This is Dr. Jancy Lindsay. I'm a toxicologist and a molecular biologist with over 30 years of scientific experience. I have a toxicology consulting company, and I consult all over the country and all over the world. I have a degree in molecular biology, a PhD, which means the study of genes and proteins, RNA, DNA. So I am definitely qualified to speak on the fact that these shots are gene therapies. They were always gene therapies, and the people were lied to about the nature of what they are. So people were told that they were not gene therapies, but any piece of nucleic acid that's delivered to a cell that makes that cell produce a protein that it would otherwise not produce are gene therapies. In fact, the corporations listed these as gene therapies in their SEC filings. They just lied to everybody else. They told people that these would stay in the arm. They do not stay in the arm. They go very far from the injection site. And the modified synthetic RNA from the COVID vaccines does not break down rapidly in the cell and is not natural. The COVID genetic vax mRNA, we were told that it could not be reverse transcribed to DNA and integrate into the genome. As Kevin McKernan will tell you in a little bit, these genetic vaccines actually do integrate into the genome.
That's what we're looking for to hear from Nurse Lindsay. Was there integration? And I think the answer is pretty obvious at this point. My guess would be yes, without question. And again, every time they say gene therapy, I wince. Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Gene manipulation would be far better. And that's what they should be calling. Some other word. Because it's not right. Here we go.
We were told that there's no DNA in the vaccines, which could change your DNA. Again, Kevin McKernan is going to tell you that these have been found to integrate in vitro at chromosomes 9 and 12 in human cell lines. We were told that the shots would only cause the creation of the spike protein, not other proteins, but they actually produce a lot of other proteins, off-target proteins, because of the way that they are made.
What's an off-target protein?
Well, I think she's referring to the fact that these things are not accurately translated because there's frame shifting involved, mm-hmm. where the ribosome goes to read it, and because it's full of these pseudouridines, it kind of skips and jumps and doesn't mm-hmm. read the right frame, so you get these junk proteins, basically, and we don't know what
junk
they do.
Junk proteins. Okay, good. Very good.
We were told that there were no other safe and existing treatments for SARS-CoV-2. There are many safe and existing treatments for SARS-CoV-2 that were quashed in order for the pharmaceutical companies and the medical industrial complex and the government to make billions of dollars by lying to the American public. We were told that the COVID shots are effective at preventing death and severe disease from COVID. Now we know that the more shots you get, the more likely you are to get COVID, and people are coming down with serious illnesses. Children are dying of heart attacks and strokes, and this is being normalized somehow. Severe neurological injuries are occurring, and it's just a litany of adverse effects that are being caused by these gene therapies that are poison. We were told that the COVID shots don't shed or harm others. In fact, they do just that. They can shed. Dr. Helen Badoon published on the case of a 7-year-old girl whose parents were recently boosted, who had a stroke immediately following her parents getting boosted.
Now that is disgusting. And that's just one tiny example. This is happening, I think, far more often than most people know. If you are around someone who has been injected, you should not be around that person, period. Okay? Unless you're masked up and maybe wearing that little ionizer around your neck and you meet in a fairly neutral environment, like outside, sitting and, you know, enjoy the view, whatever. You just can't do that. And that is so inhuman. It's unhuman to do that. To have to follow that kind of a protocol to interact with other people. It goes against everything we know about life, living, sociological interactions, all of it. And it's very difficult for people to even approach it in many cases. And I understand that. We get it.
In the Pfizer documents, they talk about shedding. So in the past, we did not use gene therapies, even though they've been in research for over 30 years, because they caused lethal lymphomas and leukemias. They also caused lethal autoimmune reactions.
That's important. Lethal lymphomas and cancers. This is bad. This is gene therapy? No, this is gene manipulation and catastrophic manipulation at that. It's really not a good thing.
Don't forget that, you know, she mentioned autoimmune as well. That's
she
also
did. I'm
going to
play that
right
again.
Now.
Yeah, I'm going to back it up. Here we go.
In the past, we did not use gene therapies, even though they've been in research for over 30 years, because they caused lethal lymphomas and leukemias. They also caused lethal autoimmune reactions. There was such a worry for gene therapies to be passed on to the next generation and corrupt the gene pool that if they knew that the gene therapies went to the testes or the ovaries, people were sterilized. They were not allowed to receive these for fear that they would corrupt the gene pool. Yet we've known that these go to the testes and the ovaries. Dr. Byron Bridle, pointed that out brilliantly early on, for over 4 years. And not a single reproductive biologist has stood up to say, hey, we could be corrupting the next generation.
And have you ever seen any remote convoluted reference to this issue she's talking about in the mainstream media? Never. You won't.
No.
It's not going to happen. This is the big lie. This is genocide. And they take no prisoners. And these are supposedly human beings. And again, I go back to the idea of the war on children, childhood innocence. They want to destroy these children, and they are. What are these things? Satan's own servants. That's what I'd like to think of them as. Evil as it gets.
So I want to get through this quickly. I don't have much time. But these can be reverse transcribed into DNA. There are contaminants. These are adulterated with DNA that can be integrated into the genome and has, in fact, been shown to be integrated into the genome. Kevin's going to talk about that.
Now, DNA plasmids. Remember, she's calling it a contaminant. My personal scientifically illiterate opinion is that these are in there intentionally. We don't even know what they're in there for. But they are, in all likelihood, integrating like crazy in the body. There are over 400 billion of these DNA particles in every injection. It can go that high. Let me just rephrase it. Up to 400 billion. That's been counted and projected by people doing the research. Now, how do these things get in there? They're pieces of DNA, and they will integrate with your body's DNA, and they'll never go away.
Yeah, that potential is there.
Here's the spike protein in the nucleus of cells. Where the spike protein can interact with P53, a tumor suppressor protein, and inactivate that so that it is no longer able to do its job. That's probably why we have a rise in cancers.
One of the reasons. So she just said quite clearly, and we've said this forever, spike protein will degrade or disable your P53 response, which is one of your primary cancer defenders. So they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing when they put this together.
This is illustrating that you do not have to have DNA integration in order to pass on exogenous DNA to the next generation where it can harm the next generation. This is a mechanism of sperm-mediated gene transfer. This is something that we definitely worry about. We're setting out to study this in the next few months to see what's going on with the gametes. It's absolutely necessary. Laura also wanted me to mention, again, this is a Cleveland Clinic study showing the more vaccines, the more harm. She wanted me to mention that these are being used in food.
The vaccination of intensely.
So these are being used. This is the work of Dr. Sasha Latipova. She was not able to join us today, but these genetic vaccines are being used in the food that we eat, fish, cattle, swine. They can be passed on in the food that we eat, just like we hear about edible vaccines. So in this study, rainbow trout were given gene therapy vaccines, and these vaccines stayed in the muscle of these fish for 320 days, definitely at the time when they would be harvested, when we could eat these and then take up this DNA and express this DNA. So this is something to definitely, definitely worry about, keep an eye on. We must ban these gene therapy shots right now. They are extremely dangerous, and the American public has been lied to about every aspect of this technology. It's extremely dangerous, and it must be stopped.
Okay, I'm going to play that last part again. This is important. It's in the food.
Vaccination of intensely.
So these are being used. This is the work of Dr. Sasha Latipova. She was not able to join us today. But these genetic vaccines are being used in the food that we eat, fish, cattle, swine. They can be passed on in the food that we eat, just like we hear about edible vaccines. So in this study, rainbow trout were given gene therapy vaccines, and these vaccines stayed in the muscle of these fish for 320 days, definitely at the time when they would be harvested, when we could eat these and then take up this DNA and express this DNA. So this is something to definitely, definitely worry about, keep an eye on. We must ban these gene therapy shots right now. They are extremely dangerous, and the American public has been lied to about every aspect of this technology. It's extremely dangerous, and it must be stopped.
Okay. I think you get it. And don't think that you eat something that's going to be taken care of in your stomach by your stomach acids. No, they've shown that that doesn't happen to these gene-modified or modifying tools that they're integrating into people's diets by way of cattle, swine, fish, probably poultry too. We don't know. Anyway, it's
well,
pretty
they want
bad.
To use them for everything, I would argue that the real concern is the proteins that these are coding for.
Right.
Because you know you are genetically modifying some animal that's you're intending to eat, and we know that the expression products from these gene transfections end up in the muscles and organs of these animals. What are they, amyloidogenic? Are they prion-like?
Yeah.
That's the real concern. We don't know what biological activity these proteins are going to have when you consume them. You know, it's every bit as bad as a genetically modified organism in terms of, you know, all of the unknowns of how it's going to interact with your gut bacteria and then your organs and tissues if it makes it into the bloodstream. You know, they're creating Franken-proteins.
Correct. Well, she even, I don't know what word she used, but they're just junk proteins. What are they? What are they going to do? What can they do in your body? We don't know.
Well, proteins can have many different functions, and one of them are, you know, if they're interacting with your cellular receptors, if they look similar enough to a signaling molecule, can they block an ion channel? You know, who knows? But they're intent on just using this technology indiscriminately as if there's no risk to it at all.
Yes.
And the risks are rather profound.
Well, they'll never, short of a court order from the Supreme Court, acknowledge that there are severe risks, fatal risks with every one of these things. Whenever you hear the term gene therapy, think of gene manipulation in your body. Sub that word in. You'll come away with an easier understanding of it. All right. mRNA vaccines don't actually have a controlled dose, which might be causing the variability in side effects. mRNA vaccines don't actually have a controlled dose in each and every injection. Now, that could be causing a variability in the wide array of side effects that are taking people down. Now, this is an interesting topic. Anything you want to say before I play it?
I have mentioned this in the past in terms
yes,
of,
you have.
Older people versus younger people and how well they produce proteins. Now, a child that's growing has quite a bit of growth hormone and is a very prolific producer of proteins, and it would stand to reason that they're going to produce quite a bit of spike protein if they receive one of these injections, and they'll translate it very effectively and produce copious amounts of the protein from it. And that seems to be true because children do seem to shed more than older people. That's the word on
the street. Interesting. That's very interesting.
And then you compare that with an older person who, you know, they don't have a lot of growth hormone circulating or any real anabolic steroids at that stage of life. They're winding down.
Speak for yourself. I'm fine.
So, you know, their ability to produce proteins is sluggish compared to that of a child. So
it's just,
it
and
would
they
stand
know
to
this.
Reason that they would produce
they,
less.
They, the evil ones, know. They know.
But then, it would also depend on which organs are transfected and then consequently producing the protein. Now, the liver is very good at producing protein. So if the majority of these lipid nanoparticles wind up in the liver, you could probably expect a pretty good bolus of spike protein from that. And then also depending on what amino acids are available. Now, this thing loves mm-hmm. methionine. So if you're eating a diet that's rich in methionine, and when we say methionine, think animal proteins in particular, mm-hmm. You know, the protein output would be probably significantly higher than if you were just eating lettuce.
Yep, yep. All right, let's see what these two gentlemen, Dr. Martin Zizzi, says about this issue of mRNA vaccines, bioweapons, don't have a controlled dose with each injection. Well, here we go.
When the mRNA platform vaccine is injected into your body, it goes into your cell. Is there a lot of control over how many copies of the protein is produced? Like if I was injecting the protein from the outside, I can tell you, you know, what
nanogram or microgram or milligram or kilogram. Yes.
Precisely.
Here with RNA, the only thing we know is the amount of the RNA. But this is irrelevant because it's not what effect.
The amount of what did he say? I want to make sure everybody understood that.
RNA.
It sounds like almost aramid, but I want you all to know he did say RNA, but very quickly. I'll back it up just a little bit here.
Or milligram or kilogram, yes.
Precisely.
Here with RNA, the only thing we know is the amount of the RNA. But this is irrelevant because it's not what affects our body. So if I give X amount of RNA, 60 nanogram or 60 microgram, it doesn't give me the output in protein, because this is not linear. Wow, that means that you have no control dose. Then you can say, we could calibrate that. Yes, you could calibrate that, but wasn't done. So essentially, I'm sad to say that, but the FDA has a rule. A medication needs a dose that is reproducible with a standard. But here, the dose of the medication is respected because it's sort of a message. It's a message. It's not a product. And the product will be produced by own cell, and there is start. If I may say, the amount of protein per unit mass depend on metabolism. You know, if you're young and have a lot of metabolically active cells, the same amount of RNA will yield more protein. If you're old, you know, not senile, but with less muscle mass, it will be less, depending on the time of the day. You know, cell cycle. You have the cells that are more awake, the cells are more sleepy. Depend if the cell is divided or not, dividing or not, I mean. So essentially, you have a lot of interfering factor that unless you control them, you have no idea of the amount of antigen that you produce.
His point was very interesting that the FDA allowed this under EUA, even though they couldn't certify or quantify the actual dose per injection. They couldn't do it. He said it's not a product, it's instructions. So
that
was a very interesting statement. The mRNA instruction packet, so to speak, surrounded with the LNP, is not like 1,000 units of vitamin C. This thing is random. It never should have been approved for a dozen different reasons, and that's just one of them.
Yeah, your mileage may vary.
That's a good little line. Good. Mileage may vary. Okay. Here we go.
It's surprising.
What you're saying is that the I can give you a certain dose of the mRNA, however many micrograms. The Moderna had a higher dose of the mRNA than Pfizer did, for instance, right? And the doses for the children's vaccines were less than Pfizer, right? But that's of the mRNA.
Yes.
But that is not what we care about.
No.
What we care about is how much protein.
How much spike was produced.
Spike protein is produced in the cells of your body as a consequence of giving you that dose.
Yes. And there are four exits possible. And it has been published. We knew that beforehand from the literature. But they were in 2022, at the end of 2022, a certain Ogata published paper, because it's not easy to measure spike produced by the vaccine in vivo. So the methodology to produce and to control the production doesn't exist.
So what you're saying is that they did these experiments in cells in petri dishes or labs or whatever.
Yes.
And they figured out, okay, if I give it this much dose in the petri dish.
I get that.
And then they took that and said, well, that's likely what will happen when we inject it in a human body.
Yeah, but the human is not the other. One is not the other. You know, we have different body shape, different metabolism, different genetics. So what happens? And it has been shown in two or three papers. You have people for which you have no production, zero. Okay, no side effect, no effect. You have people
So some people get the dose of the mRNA
and have no spike.
And for whatever reason, their cells do not actually get tricked into producing the spike protein.
Barely detectable amount. So okay, so that would not be effective, right? There are other people who have like just right the amount, you know, because the technology may work. You cannot exclude success. So essentially, some people produce what expected, and then you have a trigger, and it might work. Some other people have too much, but how much is too much? It depends on them. So they have side effects. Some people have so much that they have toxicity of the spike, because then it overflows and it goes everywhere in the body.
That guy's a character. Very important information. They had no way to certify what it was going to do in each person who got a shot. Again, it's not like giving somebody 1,000 milligrams of whatever your favorite vitamin is or mineral. They didn't know. They're just passing along instructions that will change your genetics in many cases permanently. I don't know how it wouldn't unless it was...
I can tell you this, that there were people who received the vaccines and were injured by them. And then at some point, months later, they got their antibody levels checked against spike. They didn't have antibody levels, none, no measurable antibodies to spike. Now, what does that
mean? Interesting. I don't know. I don't know. You're going back to 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah, about that time. But there were, I remember reading accounts of like that. They were both angry and mystified because they took the vaccine, the injections, thinking they were going to get some antibodies from it, believing that the antibodies were protective. That was another falsehood. And there was nothing. So either they didn't translate, you know, the RNA into a protein.
Right.
Or maybe the RNA in the shots was degraded enough that they just got a bunch of degraded RNA injected with toxic lipid nanoparticles, and that was the cause of their reaction.
What a horrible thing to even comment on, that they would do this to people. Unbelievable. The whole idea...
Oh, they're gearing up to do it again.
The new fall version will be here next month. So and these are, again, genetic manipulators. They change your genetics. That's what they're designed to do. There's nothing therapeutic about this at all. These are gene manipulators, and you will never be the same. You can't get rid of it. Sickening. Well, you brought that up quite some time ago, so good job. And it's true. And we don't know how many of these DNA particles, plasmids, there are in each shot. Again, the estimates have run up to as high as 400 billion, and we think those are integratable into the body's genetics. So,
RNA can be reverse transcribed, and then if there's DNA, which there is, every vial tested now has come up positive for RNA or DNA.
DNA.
If it's linearized, it can be integrated into your DNA. If it's, you know, the plasmid, the circular, which was the template to make the RNA,
right?
You know, that I believe can still get into the nucleus and form what they call a tether. It can tether to your DNA, and that's how a herpes virus maintains its latency. It actually tethers to the DNA. And it can be, you know, reawakened at some point, you know, when the immune system becomes lax and doesn't have the capacity to keep it in check. But that can become permanent. It's really...
It's evil.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Bad. All right, we have from the Magic Bus, we have a couple of ladies on here. One of them has an interesting T-shirt on. It says, Vaxxed. And underneath in smaller text, it says, from cover-up to catastrophe. And amen to that. All right. Vaccine injuries are not something new. We're going to hear that. And talking about her brother and his smallpox vax injury.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting because, you know, the World Health Organization has just declared monkeypox a global health emergency.
Right.
And so the topic of these vaccines is going to come up again. Now, there's two that they say will work against monkeypox. Both of them are really geared towards smallpox, but I neither one of them is really a good match. Mm-hmm. But they're in that same pox family of viruses, so they can be marketed as such.
By the way, for those of you who are having children and one or the other or both of the parents are vaxxed or even heavily shed upon, unfortunately, we're not going to know how healthy and undamaged that little baby is until that little baby probably grows up to be at least late teenage years. So you can measure intellectual competency, all kinds of things that you can't measure when they're 1 or 2 or 3 years of age. We just don't know yet how much damage is being done.
There can be changes at the level of the chromosome that, it's not going to be physically apparent.
No.
At least not immediately.
Right. Okay, here we go. My brother's smallpox injury.
Complete different bus.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Okay, we're live. Right, we're going to talk about your... Well, first of all, tell everyone who you are.
My name is Terry Goodman.
And this is about your brother. So take us back to the old days.
So vaccine injuries are not something new. In the early 60s, my brother was born in 59, so it would have been 63, 64, because I'm thinking I wasn't old enough to remember, but we received a smallpox vaccine, and I remember his arm. It was nasty, and my mother kept taking him back to the doctor, and it was just bubbling and oozing and nastiness for months. I honestly think it was months, and I don't even know how she finally got it healed up, but I was still a child, so I mean my awareness that was the first vaccine injury I'm aware of in our family, it didn't come to me until my daughter was injured in 09 from the garden.
Okay, but just go back to your brother for a second. What does his arm look like today?
He has the scar. It's finally sort of leveling out, but for years it was very large, very pronounced on his arm. You know, most of the smallpox scars are barely visible.
But he had like a bubbling cauldron.
Oh, it was nasty.
It's disgusting. Okay, well, thanks for that. Let's go now and talk about your daughter, because she got injured by the Gardasil shot. So,
in 2009,
How old was she then?
She just turned 13 on July 20th, and on July 31st, they gave her the first Gardasil shot. And school started in mid, so 2 weeks later, school started. And honestly, you know, I knew that she seemed a little fatigued and not a lot of energy, but volleyball practice, I kind of blamed volleyball practice for that. But then the coach called me very early, you know, a couple weeks after the shot, and she goes, "What's up with Angel? You know, she's just not herself." And I had to go pick her up, and went downhill from there. It started with headaches. And her second symptom, she said, "I feel like there's an elephant sitting on my chest." And she was really going into panic mode because she felt like she couldn't get air.
Why did you think it was a good idea for her? There's no judgment here. I'm just interested. Were you bullied into it, or did you just think it was good?
No, I felt like they really bullied me into it. My mother died in 06, my dad died in 07, and in 08, they were really hammering me about this vaccine, and she's like, oh, it's real new, and I said, no, we're not going to do that. So I don't know, but the doctor managed to, I think she took the time to read through my, her files, and she goes, so when we went back for her school checkup, she said, well, I see that your mother had a lot of ovarian issues and a lot of female issues that's in your history. And she goes, you want to protect her from that. You don't want her to have ovarian cancer or cervical cancer. And, you know, I just felt punched in the
gut. So they took a personal line. Mm-hmm. I've heard this before. Oh, your mother died of breast cancer. So cancer's genetically in the family. You don't want your child to die as well, do you?
Right.
It's so bad and so evil.
So she took the first shot. And within 2 or 3 weeks, it was evident it was a problem. There was headaches. But what really did it for us was she was standing in the kitchen, and her dad and I were standing right there by her, and we watched the color literally drain totally out of her face all the way down. You could see the legs changing color. And her dad caught her just as she lost all feeling in her legs. And so I knew then, you know, there's something's going on, but it still didn't make that connection. But we wound up going to the hospital for the migraines. And they ran migraine meds that I don't even know what it was now. I have all that paperwork, but... I watched her scream and cry all night, holding her head, saying, this medicine's making me feel like my head's going to explode. And I kept calling for the doctor, and never saw him all night. I come in the next morning, he goes, well, I think we're going to try another round of these drugs. And I'm like, no, we're not.
That's incredible. I mean, they do this. Oh, if we'd only gotten your COVID vaccine time, you wouldn't be a paraplegic now. I mean, this is the same thing with Gardasil. We're going to try more of them. Gardasil is another catastrophic mistake. I have a daughter. I never got her back. I never let her be vaxxed. And she was healthy all day long. Better than anybody, all of her friends. She didn't get sick. I've heard this from many other people. My son never got sick. I didn't get my kids vaxxed. They don't get sick. I'm not giving medical advice here. I'm just anecdotally telling you that you don't need to be browbeaten into having your children injected with this shit. And that's what it is. It's deadly in many cases. And we don't know what the long-term... Gardasil's been around for, what, 5, 6, 7 years now? Something like that?
I think maybe longer than that. Prior to this COVID injection, that was the most dangerous
popular,
vaccine.
Controversial, and catastrophic. I was sick of reading about 12- and 13-year-old little girls dying after getting these shots. And little boys, too. They were giving boys these things.
Oh, they were giving it to boys.
Yes.
Yep. The a staggering number of girls were paralyzed from this.
Beautiful little children destroyed.
And they're still pushing it.
When a species loses its way to the extent it cannot honor and cherish childhood and children, it's gone. It's on the way out. Here we go.
Unless you're going to sit here with her all night. And I said, no, back up. That's not even going to. I'm taking her home because you're not helping. And it was just, at that point, I reached out to a friend of mine because her husband dealt with herbs and herbally detoxed her. And we really attacked, you know, the pituitary gland, the lymph glands. But for a year, she slept on the couch. And I slept with her. And we slept together and on the couch because I was afraid she was going to stop breathing.
Now, you're the sister. Do you remember this?
Actually, I was living in Kansas City, Missouri at the time.
She wasn't going in Wichita.
Yeah.
And you did not take this shot?
No. They didn't even have the shot when I said it.
And now?
Myself?
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
No shots?
No, that's what my two oldest children were born in the same.
So your sister taught you.
She did have.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, yeah.
But my kids were like yours, Polly. They were all vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids born in 75 and 79 only had a few.
Quite right.
Yeah. And then I had a daughter born in 86, and she had quite a few more. And then my last two were born in 96 and 98. And they had all the shots, including the chicken pox shot and all of the... And the doctor, the neurologist that I spoke with...
You gave him a chicken pox shot? Was it the MMRV or just the varicella or whatever on its own?
It was just the varicella.
Interesting.
But see, all my kids were vaccinated, all of them on schedule. But I began questioning with that chicken pox shot. And then... They gave it to him, and then they both broke out with chicken pox.
Well, that works then, didn't it?
Then they wanted me to bring them back for a booster, and I'm like, well, that makes no sense.
All right. None of it makes any common sense. It doesn't.
No.
In California, baby, these are little babies. Baby vaccines include 5 doses of the DTaP combination vaccine, which we've heard about recently. Terrible things. Your baby will receive his or her first dose at 8 weeks of age and the second at 16 weeks of age. Then they'll get their third dose at 6 months and the fourth dose between 15 and 18 months of age and the fifth dose between 4 and 6 years of age. This boggles my mind to even read this kind of stuff. Leave the children alone. Feed them properly. Take care of them. Teach them common sense hygiene, and you'll be fine in most cases. I don't understand why people, they're just afraid, and they trust the medical establishment, the Rockefeller medical gurus in their white jackets. They trust them. They're obedient to them, and a lot of lives are being lost that way.
Well, and they do it through intimidation.
Bullying, as they said earlier.
Yeah. And then, you know, the school gets in on it and says, well, the kid can't come to school unless he has all these shots.
Can't play sports, right?
Yeah.
Et cetera. No, this is...
But, you know, you're setting yourself up for a lifetime of either autoimmune diseases, cancer, just ill health.
4 to 5 months old.
This is not a normal way to build an immune system.
No. I honestly think it ruins the immune system.
It ruins it, yes.
How can it do anything positive? 4 to 5 months in California, 2 polio shots, 2 DTaP shots, 2 hepatitis B, and 2 HIB. 6 through 14 months, 2, 3, 2, and 2 more. 15 to 17 months, 3 polio, 3 DTaP, 2 Hep B, 1 varicella, and then 1 HIB, 1 MMR. They are really destroying these children. It's just horrible. And I think there's something on the order of 30 to 40 shots or more that a child in California is supposed to get by the time they're 15, 16.
Yeah, it's obscene. You know, and a lot of these injections do inflame the brain.
We're back to inflammation.
So the brain takes
Thank
a hit.
You. You got it. Yep.
You know, apart from what it's doing to the immune system, and we have an epidemic of sick kids now that will never reach their genetic potential because they're so damaged.
The species is really in decline. It has been conditioned to destroy itself, and it's just not able to ask the questions and go against the grain in most cases. No, I just the idea of injecting these children, and thinking you're going to improve their immune system somehow is ludicrous.
Yeah. And, you know, they have very limited liability if something happens to your child. Good luck.
No, it's
That vaccine court, you know, it, in terms of what they've paid out over the years is paltry compared to the rate of injury.
What if I refuse to vaccinate my child in California? Children who are not vaccinated can transmit vaccine-preventable diseases at schools and in the community. Unvaccinated children can infect babies who are too young to be fully immunized. Unvaccinated children can infect people of any age who can't be immunized for medical reasons. See how they do it?
Propaganda. It's all
just
propaganda. Yeah, how did
just
we get
awful.
This far in our evolution without vaccines?
Devolution. I know. Why do parents refuse vaccinations? And the answer, many parents do not see the preventable diseases as serious or life-threatening and would prefer to not put extra chemicals into their children's bodies. Amen. Other parents think if their children have healthy diets and lifestyles, they are at a decreased rate and risk of contracting preventable childhood disease. That's correct. Totally correct. Mm.
Well, you know the name of the game.
Yeah, it's called double-sided genocide. They're going to get you coming or going. This is horrible. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Excellent.
Likewise. And Friday, God willing.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Right.
See you on Friday.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be right back in a few minutes with another hour. Yoichi Shimatsu next. Stay tuned.